More than 1 in 5 Americans will still work remotely in 4 years, so predicts Upwork, the freelancing platform. So will this work from home thing become a long-term thing, or will most of us revert to cubicle life? Let's ask our regular Monday guest, Derek Thompson. He hosts a new podcast called Plain English. Derek, happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
And Derek, we Americans like to think about this mythical balance between work and play. How do you think about how this pandemic has blurred or maybe obliterated this line?
Well, there's always been a bit of a mythical balance, but at least in the before times, there was a commute that physically separated home life from work life. For a lot of Americans, not most, but a lot, millions of Americans today, that boundary between work and life has utterly blurred. I think there's really two convergences that you need to think about. One is a convergence of technology. We work on computers, which equally are adept at life tools and work tools. You can shop for clothes while you answer Slacks and emails. But the workspace has also converged as well. You can, on a couch, play with your kids, watch TV, and also write an article for The Atlantic magazine or write something for the radio. So I really do think that work, as I say in the podcast, has gotten leaky. Work is moving into leisure, and leisure is moving into work.
Now, in your new podcast, you talk to Anne Helen Peterson. She is co-author of the book Out of Work: The Big Problem and Bigger Promise of Working from Home. And you describe work as America's new religion. What do you mean?
Well, I think that for a long time, people looked to religions, organized religions, for a sense of self-actualization, a sense of community, a sense of transcendence and meaning in their life. And now I think a lot of secular Americans and also some religious Americans look to work to provide all of those things. They look to work for community, look to their careers for self-actualization and meaning, and they hope that their jobs will be among the more transcendent aspects of their life. So this is a phenomenon that I call workism, and it's this idea that work, for many modern Americans and many people around the world, is a kind of replacement religion.
I work, therefore I am. Yeah. Now, Peterson said something in your podcast that just hit me in the episode. She said, the office privileges certain kinds of workers.
I think the office is a place that has long favored people who are comfortable in the office, which is largely white dudes without caregiving responsibilities, right? Like, it is a very clear sort of person that the office privileges, whereas I think there is this understanding that somehow the office is neutral.
So, Derek, have companies, have executives started to ask this question she's getting at? That is, whether the office setting is an unlevel playing field?
I think more offices are beginning to ask this question. Whether they're answering it, I think, is an unknowable. When Anne said this to me, you know, my response was, well, I do like the office and I do miss the office, but I look down that list of identities that you just named, a white dude without caregiving responsibilities, me also. So I really do think that it's important for people to, you know, be respectful and open-minded about the idea that different work environments privilege different kinds of people and even different kinds of psychologies. You know, I think on the flip side, I think working from home, it tends to be really useful or equally productive for people that are introverts, that don't need that sort of social electricity that sometimes you can get from, you know, a good office interaction. But I think for a lot of people who are extroverts, working from home for almost 2 years now, they're the ones in my life, at least, that are most missing that time spent around their colleagues.
Now, this work from home, this natural experiment we're running now, has made a lot of us more efficient. But Peterson says some company leaders care about time spent in the chair. Here she is talking about her chat with a CEO.
And the CEO was like, well, that worker still owes me those hours. That's wage theft. And I'm like, no, it's the same amount of work. It's just that actually, if anything, they will be doing their work better because they will be more rested and restored from these hours that they're not actually working, right? But he's like, no, the employee owes me that time.
So Derek, this idea of time clocks punching in, punching out, do a lot of bosses still think that way?
A lot of bosses clearly think that way, and I think that we need to think differently about how we evaluate worker performance. You know, there are some jobs where it's easy to evaluate the quality of the product. Maybe there's like really good analytics that say, you know, Derek, the articles that you wrote this month got us this many readers, so we know that you did better this month than you did in April. But there's a lot of jobs where, you know, evaluating people is a little bit more impressionistic, and a lot of times bosses use the proxy of how much time are you spending on the clock in, you know, having your butt in the seat. I think that as more of the knowledge economy moves toward jobs that can be evaluated in ways that aren't just time spent, more bosses should move toward that level of evaluation.
And real quick, is there a trade-off here of too many people working from home? I mean, we've been told that the great thing about being in the office is we bump into people and we create new ideas.
Yeah, I do think that there might be a trade-off. You know, we do believe in this idea of sort of the water cooler moment where you can have an idea with a colleague who sparks something new. But I think it's important to point out that you can have those moments at home as well. I don't think we understand yet what the office does perfectly and what working from home does perfectly.
All right, Derek Thompson. His podcast is Plain English. Thank you.
Thank you.